Hello and welcome back to the Solve the Overeating Puzzle podcast. And I am Eugenia Nikiforo, your host and the founder of Unlocks You, the Eating Psychology Clinic. And today I'm talking to Nadine Uirata, who is a business and social media coach for menstruating women who are here to help to create, serve, and make an impact in this world. Nadine has a background in neurolinguistic programming, women's health, and business, and she's here to help women to become the best versions of themselves through menstrual health practices, feminine energetics, and business support. I was truly excited to talk about the menstrual cycle with her and why it is so important for us to truly know what it is and the different phases and how we can learn about the menstrual cycle to really optimize our life, especially around nutrition, exercise, and the way we look after ourselves. I hope you will enjoy this episode as much as I enjoyed recording this, where we share really juicy tips how to learn about your menstrual cycle, what you can do with this knowledge, and how you can optimize your life. Hello, Nadine. Welcome to our podcast.
Hello, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. I was really excited personally when you told me what you do and the topic that you talk about. And we are talking about our cycle, our menstrual cycle today. I was really excited actually about that because I think just this weekend I was talking to a friend of mine and we both said, and she's in her 40s, so she's 40, I'm 37. And we both said, we actually didn't know much about it up until recently or last few years when life forced us to learn about it. And that's why I always say, oh my God, we should be learning this when we are 11, 12, 13, something like that, right? So our entire life, basically, how we have to work with it and live with it in a powerful way. So that's why I think this conversation today is really, really amazing. So like I said, we're talking about our menstrual cycle. I'd love to hear what your personal journey was with the cycle. How did you come about doing what you're doing and talking about it?
Yeah, so roughly 3 years ago, I had been on the pill at the moment I am 28, I turned 29 this year. I was on the pill when I turned, I think 15 or 16 was when I first went on the pill. And then for like the next 10-ish years, I had been on multiple different pills. I tried the jab. And I had always been on some form of hormonal contraception. Now, throughout that time, I knew very little about my cycle, knew very little about hormones, knew very little about basically my body, my reproductive system, endocrine system. And about 3 years ago, I just had this like overwhelming feeling of that I didn't know, not that I didn't know who I was, because I was in the midst of my own personal growth journey and spiritual journey. And I just felt like I was disconnected from my body. And so I kind of took the time to reflect and evaluate what I could do and what it might be. And then I had this thought come to my head thinking, maybe it's the pill. Maybe it's the fact that I'm blocking a lot of, you know, my natural hormones actually coming through and allowing me to connect with myself. So at the time I was in a relationship, when you're in a pill and you're in a long-term relationship, you are less likely to use a condom. I mean, I don't know about everyone else, but that seems to be the consensus of most long-term relationships now. So we tend to think that the pill is like this super pill that will stop all this stuff from happening. And so, you know, you forget about all the other possible contraceptives out there. And so I was in a long-term relationship at the time, and I was like, well, I don't want to just come off the pill because that could make big boo-boos happen that I didn't want to have at the time in my life. And so I had the conversation with my partner, and I was like, I really want to come off the pill because I just feel like shit. Like I felt super emotional all the time. I didn't know what was going on, and I couldn't figure out why. Like, no spiritual practice that I did really helped me to maneuver through that. And I was like, this is like the last resort that I feel like I'm at. And he was surprisingly very good about it, and he actually helped me to research deeper into it at the time. So I came off the pill, and one of the things that we had researched was the ability to still have unprotected sex without, obviously unprotected sex without a condom. And this came from understanding your phases that you're going through of your ovulation, and basically learning about your entire cycle and how your hormones work, and etc. So that was initially how I first started to learn how to work with my cycle, rather than not knowing about it and just using another form of protection the whole entire time. So my intention in starting to learn about it wasn't to be like, oh, I'm going to learn all this stuff about the cycle so I can help women all around the world and, you know, figure it out for themselves. At that point in time, it was a very selfish reason for, you know, purely myself. So I was able to purely focus on my own reasoning for it. And for myself, when I learn a new topic or I get interested about something, like, I go super deep. Like, I will learn every single thing that I can about it in like the first few days, so I can implement it like all within like the next week, or start implementing it all within the next week. And yeah, after doing that, it just became a habit to, you know where I was in my cycle, and it helped me to not only, you know, allow me to live my life without being on the pill, but it also allowed me to have other things like better sleep, alleviating stress, alleviating anxiety, and just all of these other things that you don't really know until you experience them.
Okay, that's awesome. It's really interesting what you said there. I remember I was very similar. I was probably 16 and a half, 17 when I went on the pill. And I think a lot of women, girls, young women go on the pill about that age. And I don't know about you. I don't know how obviously other people experience that, but I know there was not much education about that, how it affects your body, how it can impact your body for the long run. It was just, okay, this is the way to stay safe, basically, not to get pregnant. And that's about it. And I remember for me, it was later, like the same for you, I was in a long-term relationship, but I also felt something is not right. But for me, I guess how it came about, I went to the doctor because I said, I don't have any sexual drive. It was zero. Nothing was happening. It was like someone turned the switch off. It didn't happen. And I remember I went to the doctor and said, I don't feel any desire whatsoever. Just non-existent. What's wrong with me? And I remember, well, he said two things, which is really interesting. One is he said, I would really look into your relationship if you're actually really keen on him. That's what he said. And the other one, that's where he said, actually, the pill can do that too. Mm. Because the body thinks you're pregnant.
Mm.
It's no longer interested in procreation. So it switches everything off. And I remember when I went off the pill, wow, so much started happening. And I thought, wow, I've never experienced any of that. That's what it's like maybe to, I don't know, be a man or something. That's what I was thinking about back then. But it was really, really beautiful to feel actually that want to be close with the person you love. So really powerful as well. So what was it for you? You went off it. Did you start using some tools to learn about it? How did you learn about it?
So I stopped. So how I stopped taking the pill was I finished whatever, the hormonal pills, and then I got my period. And then after that, I just stopped taking it. There wasn't a like weaning off period kind of thing. It was just a stop taking it. And then I used a app called Natural Cycles. So it is just an app on your phone. And what you do with this particular app is you take your temp every morning. So what your body does throughout your cycle is it will fluctuate in temperature. So when you're ovulating or you're about to ovulate, your temperature will rise by like 0.3 to 0.5 degrees. And then it will, so this is called your LH surge. So your luteinizing hormone surge. And this is essentially where it increases. So it lets your brain and know to do all of its things that it needs to in order to release the egg. Now, if you're on the pill, what the pill does is it makes your tricks your body into actually not releasing the egg. So it gives out synthetic hormones, which stop that egg being released. So interesting how you're saying that your sex drive was low when you're on the pill, which makes sense because your synthetic hormones from the pill are actually essentially stopping you from ovulating. So ovulation is basically like when we're on heat. If we think about it like in animals, like ovulation is like when the egg's getting ready to come out, and then boom, you get your big surge, and then boom, you like want to have sex all the time. So it makes sense that when you are on the pill, you have a less, I guess, urge to have that because your hormones aren't doing the things that it needs to. When you're ovulating, you get a spike in your temperature, you get a spike in hormones. And then once you've had the spike for about 24 to 36 hours after that, that's when you're most, I guess, most fertile in terms of being able to get pregnant. And then after that, your temperature goes back down. So this app and using this app and taking your temp every day in the morning is just basically a way for you to learn where you ovulate. And then from where you ovulate, you can figure out what part of your cycle you're in.
Yeah. Okay. And obviously you use this knowledge for your personal life. How do you use that knowledge?
Yeah. So a quick little rundown on how our menstrual cycle works as a woman. So we have four phases that we go through as reproductive women. So when we are reproductive in terms of pre-menopause. So these four phases are your follicular phase, ovulatory phase, luteal phase, and menstrual phase. So most women are very familiar with the menstrual phase. This is when we have a period, when we bleed, when we less likely want to, you know, be a part of society and be a part of the world. We want to hibernate and go into our little cocoon. So won't go too much into that one because we already know quite a bit about it. Our ovulatory phase is the next phase that most women will know about. If you're on the pill, you don't actually ovulate. It's a synthetic or fake ovulation. And this is where the egg gets released from the fallopian into the fallopian tubes from the ovaries and awaits in your uterus for a sperm. If there's no sperm, then it comes out during the period. The other two phases are the follicular, which is after your menstrual phase and before your ovulatory phase, and then your luteal phase, which is between your ovulatory phase and your menstrual phase. Now, the easiest way that I like to teach the phases is thinking of the four seasons. So spring, summer, autumn, winter. So winter is our menstrual phase or menstrual cycle when we have our period. Think of it like hibernation. You want to go into your cocoon. You want to, you know, hide away from all the snow and the cold out in the world and just, you know, evaluate and come back into yourself. Then we have spring, which is the follicular phase. So this is where you are more naturally in a planning stage. So you may have new ideas come up. You might think of, oh, I want to start this new project or do this new thing. And then when you move into your ovulatory phase, this is where you start to execute or start to, I guess, put it out there into the world. You're a lot more communicative. You want to talk more. You want to be more social. You want to be that, you know, social butterfly. And then you go into your luteal phase, which is where you want to get things done. So each of these phases lasts a different amount of days. Your luteal phase is normally the longest. So this is where you can get more things done. You are more likely to have more motivation motivation and energy to get things done. And then you go back into your menstrual phase where it all starts again and goes in that cycle. Now, if you are, say, on a pill or hormonal contraceptive, it's not to say that you don't go through these four phases. You do. It's just it'll look a little bit different in terms of your actual hormones that you have going on inside of you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So knowing our cycle or knowing our different seasons, I guess, and I can imagine that definitely using an app like this can help us to learn about it and see how long we're staying in there. And I know for me personally, it really helped me when I started doing that. Even I'm using a different app, it's called Flow,
yeah.
But it gives you an opportunity to also put some notes down, right? So and that's when I noticed, let's say in the second, so after my ovulation, my emotions were a little bit more all over the show, right? Then towards sort of closer bit to the period, the energy started coming down and there's not much kind of that I want to do, where obviously after the period, the energy is up and you want to do all these things. That's definitely helpful for us to learn. So on this podcast, obviously we talk about food, diet, nutrition, health, exercise. When would you say is a good time to, let's say if someone wants to exercise and go to the gym, how would they use this knowledge to adjust maybe the way they exercise?
Yeah. So for the first half of your cycle, so I'll kind of touch at the same time. It's easy to explain both at the same time on nutrition and exercise as well. Mm-hmm. So on your first half of your cycle from the start of your follicular phase, so the day basically as soon as your period stops until you finish ovulating, this is considered like the first half of your cycle. So this is where you naturally have you're obviously building energy naturally across that time. So during this time you can actually, I don't want to say afford to, but you can actually have less calories to actually have more energy. So you don't have to eat as much. It doesn't mean don't eat at all. Do not recommend that. Not saying that at all.
No.
But you do not need to have as much because your natural hormone energy is rising. So it's kind of like counteracting the need to have more caloric intake. Versus the second half where your hormones are decreasing, so you need to up that caloric intake. So in regards to your exercise or gym movement, that kind of thing, in the first half, this is where you have more energy to do things like cardio or HIIT workouts or, you know, the longer, progressive forms of exercise and movement. And the second half, this is where it kind of, I don't want to say weans off, but in terms of your strength, you're more stronger in terms of hormonal energy during your luteal phase. So luteal phase time is great for things like weights, for powerlifting, anything where you are really putting mass and weight onto your muscles. And then obviously during your menstrual cycle, this is your lowest point in your hormonal level. So you literally have like the very bare minimum of energy to, you know, do anything. So if you don't feel like you want to work out on your menstrual cycle, this is your time to give yourself permission to not do so, and switching it out with things like walking or yoga or stretching or, you know, the lower impact type of movement, even if it's just like, you know, walking up and down a pool. Like that's still a lot better for your hormones versus trying to like smash out a 10k run because you forgot to like 2 weeks ago. But yeah, that's essentially as simple as it gets to be with the cycle. It's not this like massive thing like you have to do x amount during, you know, your follicular phase or during your luteal phase. It's all based on yourself and your body.
And you also wanted to talk about nutrition when it comes to the cycle.
So as I was saying, the first half you don't have to eat as much as in your second half. So a lot of diets that have been, what's the word, created over the last, you know, 30, 40 years, they were based more so on the male hormone makeup. And women were kind of left out of those studies because of birth defects and shit that happened way back in like the 50s. So because of this, we are initially taught about nutrition focused around male hormones, whereas male hormones are the same level throughout basically the day on a continual basis, whereas women, ours is based across the month. So this is where we see the difference in fluctuation of hormones. So for women who try to eat the same every day, same caloric intake, will find that in different parts of their cycle, they're not necessarily feeling that natural sense of energy or that natural sense of strength that they would be if they were working with their cycle rather than against it.
So good. I was actually saying that just in, few weeks ago, that I do also find that a lot of the diets or exercise regimes, they are based on the way a man works. And that's why I know clients usually would say to me, my husband always tells me, just stop eating, just stop doing it, just stop it. And I always say, it's not as simple for a woman. And man, when I work with male clients, it is naturally like that. I tell them what to do, they go off and they just do it. It's more simple. Yeah, not meaning it in any negative way, but it is pretty much black and white. They go and do it. They do as they're told, and that's it. Where for women, it's more complicated. There are more feelings. There are more emotions. We are driven by our hormones. We're like we've just discussed, right? If we at during the first cycle, we are able to be more in a calorie deficit if this is what we want to do. In the second cycle, it's much harder. So that's when women say, my cravings increase. All I want is just chocolate and more food. So that explains it as well. We naturally want more food, but if we are not prepared for it, if we don't know, quite often what happens is if, let's say, our cravings start increase, the food choices that we make, if they are not smart, let's say we eat more sugar or more processed carbohydrates, it increases our food cravings even more. So we need to be prepared for it. And my suggestion is always really make sure that you know that your cycle is coming, you know that time is coming, so you are prepared. You can increase your protein and your fat, your calories a little bit as well. So you go through the cycle with much more ease then as well.
Yeah. And the other another, I don't want to say issue, another, I guess, challenge or barrier that as women we can kind of experience is if we're going through our, I guess, our weight journey or our body image journey, however you want to, I guess, label it for yourself. We can be very, focused on weight and what it is that we weigh. But one of the biggest things to remember that as a woman, and because our hormones fluctuate throughout the month, our weight's going to fluctuate as well. Because depending on what your hormones are doing, if you're, especially if you're working against your hormones and not working with them, this is going to create things such as water retention and bloating and all the things that come up throughout your cycle if you aren't necessarily tracking it or syncing with it. And this can change your weight. So if you are someone who, you know, weighs yourself every week because you're on, I don't know, 12-week challenge, 8-week challenge, whatever, and one of the things is to weigh yourself every week, it's not going to give you a true number, because there is no real true weekly number for your cycle because your hormones are fluctuating all the time. So one of the things that I will tell my clients back when I was doing health and fitness coaching was, don't focus on your weight, focus on the way you feel. Yes, weight's important if, you know, you're a numbers person, but do it once a month, do it at the same time every month. If it's at the start of your follicular phase, if it's the start of your period, whatever point in time, do it at the same time every month. And then you're more likely to get a better average than it is to do it every week and just be bummed about it every week and being like, oh my gosh, it's gone up a kg, or oh my gosh, it's gone down a kg. And then you just keep fluctuating because that's what your hormones are doing.
Yes, good, important topic. Absolutely. Keeps coming up over and over again as well. So we talked about diet, we talked about exercise, you talked a little bit about being social or kind of withdraw a little bit. What are other reasons why it is important for us women to know about our cycle and maybe really track it as well?
A lot of reasons. One of the main reasons is sleep. So tracking your cycle isn't necessarily going to help you sleep, but being able to understand your cycle can help you gain better sleep and have better sleep, rather than just trying to, you know, force yourself to sleep. So example is, if you are either eating too much or eating the wrong types of foods or vitamins or minerals in, say, the first half of your cycle, this is going to affect your hormones in the second half of your cycle. So going back to how we spoke, we were talking about the reasons, you're speaking about why you went on the pill in the first place. So my experience of going on the pill in the first place was because I had really bad period pain. And at the time, the blanket thing was, if you have period pain, go on the pill, and it's this magic pill that'll make the pain go away. But what a lot of women aren't told, and what we aren't told about, obviously, through our menstrual phase when we grow up, is that every woman will have some small, not necessarily painful, but some small feeling of, you know, like your period's coming. Like there's always that little, like, I like to call it like the pinch. I call it the pinch of when you can feel something's happening. You're like, oh, I feel like it's coming, but it's not sore. It's just like, it's that feeling. It's like that little, like, not like a kick, but it's like, there's like a little something in there with a pincer and just
it's like niggling. It's just, yeah, niggling there.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Like that inner niggle. It's like, ah, okay, it's coming sometime. And then it will show up when you're obviously least expected and you're not prepared. But, you know. So that we often think that that is period pain, or that it could be period pain. It's not necessarily period pain. It's just a period niggle to be like, yo, like we're coming out soon, so get ready. But for So at the time, because my memory isn't that great for back when I was a teenager, for all I know, the pain that I was having could have been, you know, the period niggle, whereas at the time I thought it was period pain. And this was also during the time of when you would buy like the Dolly magazines and it had the like tear away section in the middle and you'd like learn about all periods and like sex talk and all that kind of stuff. So for me, my main reason of going on the pill was because I thought it would get rid of everything to do with your period, basically. Now, what this does is that it teaches us to disconnect with not just the pain, but with our hormones, with our body and everything else. So when it comes to things like sleep, when it comes to, you know, just our daily interaction with the world, being able to connect with your body allows you to have a deeper understanding of everything else that you're doing as well. And one of the things that has really helped me with sleep, which isn't necessarily connected, like directly connected to cycle syncing, but directed to my ability to connect with my body, is that I'm able to regulate the way that I'm feeling before I go to sleep. So if I have, you know, if I'm worried about something or if I am overthinking something, I'm able to regulate what it is that my emotions are trying to tell me, and I can calm myself down faster in order to go to sleep. So it can improve sleep, it can alleviate stress and anxiety. If you're quite an anxious person, being able to focus on something within you helps you to take back control of things outside of you as well, as well as being more productive with your natural boost of energy. So if you're someone who feels like you're constantly having to rush everything, or you're constantly like on the go, you're able to harness your natural energy throughout the different parts of your cycle, so you can actually get more done. Because if you know that you're going to have, you know, if you're on your period and you're like, oh, I'm like running out of time to do this thing that needs to be done within the next month, then you can know that in your follicular phase, you're going to start getting more energy, and you can plan within that stage to actually get it done. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. So do you personally plan your days or your projects? Obviously you're a business owner as well, also outside of business, do you plan your life around your circle? What does that look like for you personally?
So I use the, I always forget what it is, an anagram? Is it anagram? No. When there's like letters, but they represent a different acronym. Is it an acronym? I want to say it's like KISS, like keep it simple, stupid. Like that sort of type of thing. I think it's an acronym. We're going to go with acronym. But anyway, I have one of those. It's called PIE. So it's P-I-E-E. So P is for prepare. So that's your follicular phase. I is for initiate. So that's your ovulatory phase. E is for execute, which is your luteal phase. And then E again is evaluate for your menstrual phase. So this is how I basically live my life in business and relationships and my lifestyle and fitness and wellness, everything. Prepare, initiate, execute, evaluate. So for me, I will often try to have the first few days of my bleed, I will schedule it to be blank. So it's full evaluation on myself, on business, on everything that I have going on. If it falls within full moon time or new moon time, then I integrate new moon and full moon rituals into those 2 days as well. Then when it comes into my follicular phase, this is where I do all my planning. So I don't necessarily, I don't content batch a month out. I don't do, you know, I don't put everything structurally into a month, but I will plan for what's coming ahead within the next month up until my next period. Then when my ovulation starts, I'll start to initiate on those things, whether it's a new exercise regime, whether it's a new food plan, whether it's a new, it will just kind of, it allows you to change it as you need to, because you can never know what's coming up in a month. Like, everything is constantly changing. So it gives you that time to evaluate and assess as you go. So I'll initiate during my ovulation stage. Then I will do majority of my execution on projects, on work, on other little things that I have going on. And then whatever I don't get done, then I'll evaluate during my menstrual phase, and then I start again. So it's just this constant cycle of spring, summer, autumn, winter, going in a nice little circle. Now, obviously, caveat, it doesn't always work. Or not work. It doesn't always go perfectly to plan all the time, because nothing ever truly does. But it gives you that permission to know that if you don't get everything done, it's okay, because you still have time after that.
I think this is a really important topic to mention, because a lot of people, I guess, who feel maybe drawn to my work, or also my clients, are really those A-type personalities. We like to get things done. We like it perfect. And we wanted to get it done better yesterday. And we like to plan and organize, and we wanted obviously to execute, particularly the execution is the key. How, and then sometimes what happens is something doesn't go to plan. That's where that self-loathing comes in. That's where, I guess, a lot of the time we start then questioning ourselves. What's wrong with me? Why can I not? Why do I start but not can't execute it, or can't bring it to the end? And so I think this is a really, really important point that you bring up here. We can plan. And that's, and for some people, it's really important to plan. However, be flexible within the plan, right? Yeah. And allow things not to go to plan. That's just the way it is. It will never be perfect. And, you know, the cycle comes back next month. So we have a lot of time to practice this as well. But I think really knowing how it works, and then I think really these topics are really good to understand. Why am I slowing down? Why do I feel maybe a little bit less motivated towards the end of the cycle? And instead of working against ourselves and trying to force ourselves, and again, going into that negative self-talk, what's wrong with me? Why can I not do it? Actually, nothing's wrong with you. You are perfectly perfect the way things are, because that's the way we are designed. That's the way the nature flows, really, like the seasons, right? And winter, and I mean, we are going into winter now. It's getting colder, we draw in. So it's a beautiful time to go into restorative practice, make it nice and warm at home, do a little bit of stretching, light the fire, whatever goes. It can be a very beautiful phase as well, if we know how to utilize that for ourselves. Yeah, beautiful, awesome. So what's been your personal biggest challenge that you've had to overcome since learning about your cycle, particularly when it comes to maybe eating and food and just your life in general?
Yeah. So when it comes to eating, I grew up having a really bad relationship with food. Not so much that I, you know, would eat all the time, kind of bad relationship. But when I was younger, I was teased for being bigger, of being fat. And so I had this, you know, this childhood complex of always not feeling good enough, not wanting to eat, not wanting to have really any relationship with food, because I thought food was this bad thing. So I went through high school never having breakfast, or never really learning about nutritional food, because I didn't associate myself with it as I was growing up. So when I was, so food was always an issue for me prior to learning about my cycle, regardless. So when I was 22, I was overeating, I was drinking a lot, I had been like the heaviest that I'd ever been. I was like 80 kg plus. So for to put that into perspective, I'm 5'7", I think, 170 centimeters. Apparently that's like an average height based on I don't know what, but average height.
Yeah.
And my BMI, which I personally don't like BMIs, but my BMI is somewhere between 69 and 80 or something. So I was overweight based on my BMI at the time. And then I went back into a phase of not liking food even more. And I got down to 59 kgs when I was 24. So I had gone through a massive breakup. I was going through a whole lot of shit at work. I had lost my dad when I was 20. No, sorry, not 20. When I was 19. So I was going through a lot of grief and a lot of internal things going on. So that made the, I guess, connection to food and my body even, you know, more non-existent. So I had to relearn how to have a relationship with food. But in order to have this relationship with food, I needed to have a relationship with myself. And I guess the biggest barrier for me when it came to learning about my cycle was realizing that if I wanted to sync with my cycle, if I wanted to work with my body rather than against it, I was going to have to feed myself properly. And I don't mean properly as in like having broccoli and rice and chicken, as that's in the sense of actually like eating when my body was needing and, you know, needing food and needing nutrition. Because I went years not being able to have breakfast. In the first couple of months of starting to eat breakfast again, I honestly felt sick because I was like, oh my gosh, this is so much food for so early in the morning. This being like 8 a.m. in the morning, whereas I wouldn't eat until like lunchtime. So it was a massive, I guess, journey of being able to trust that what I was putting into my body was safe for my body, even if it was, you know, oats. Mm-hmm. And trusting that my body could actually handle what it was that I was wanting to move towards. So it's learning how to build that trust with yourself, which is why learning about your cycle helps you build so much trust within yourself, because you're trusting that you know what your body is. Well, you know more about what your body is doing, and you get to feel that every day when you are learning about it and implementing it and actually learning how to work with it rather than against it.
Yeah, it's not just food, right? It's the cycle. It's everything. And that's when clients, for example, join our programs. And I guess what they want, I want to lose weight. I want to stop binge eating, overeating, and I want to lose weight. And I always say the beauty is when you start learning about what's really happening, those underlying root causes for your relationship with food, not only your relationship with food changes, first of all, your relationship with yourself changes, because our relationship with food is actually just a mirror to our relationship with ourselves. It's a reflection of, do I understand myself? Do I understand what I'm feeling? Do I understand why I'm craving? Do I understand why I am tired? Do I understand why I'm sometimes so energized and then other times not, right? And it's understanding, why do I do what I do? What are my hormones? What are my needs, my desires, my wishes? The more we learn, the more we can really work with ourselves, with our psychology, with our hormones, with our cycle, and can be more in flow with life, I think, in general.
Yeah,
beautiful point. So what's your biggest tip for women who are wanting to learn about their own menstrual cycle?
Biggest tip, most simplest tip, is to start tracking your cycle, whether that's through just the calendar, whether you use an app. So I currently use Flow as well. I think I've been using Flow for the last maybe 8 months, just because my membership finished with the other one and I couldn't be bothered restarting again. So I just jumped onto Flow. Learning about you, learning about what triggers your bloating, learn about, like, if you have period pain, if you have bloating, if you feel like you're carrying more water or holding more water during certain parts of the month, noting this down and actually learning about why it might be happening, because there's so much that we can learn about our cycles and hormones and what they do and all that kind of stuff, but the first step and the easiest step to take is simply starting to learn where you are in your cycle. If it's just learning about when you're in your follicular phase, or when you start to ovulate, or how long your cycle is, because not everyone's cycle is the same length. Some people have irregular cycles, some people don't have the same length in cycles, some people have a 5-day period, some people have an 8-day, some people have a 3-day. Everyone's is different, and there's no right or wrong way to have a period. There's only the right way that yours gets to be for you.
Apart from when it's so painful, that I think that is a good indicator to look into, are my hormones healthy? When we're so emotional in the second part, where the world maybe crumbles down, and that's a different conversation, but I just wanted to say it out loud, and that is a conversation that I also want to have. And I am planning to have a conversation on this podcast about what is not normal. We're not supposed to be in so much pain. We're not supposed to be this emotional wreck, I guess, in the second cycle. And that's where I started learning about it as well, because I knew something is not right here, and I shouldn't be feeling like the way I was feeling. But again, we don't get educated, but this is a completely different topic. I guess I ask you, what's your tip to for women to how they can learn? So you said definitely, I think an app is great personally. I mean, whatever works really for someone. If it's just a calendar, I just find with an app, because they just prompt you certain things that you might not be thinking about, right? So what are your cramps, or do they have any other symptoms, like your boobs are sore, or or are you certain emotions and feelings that keep coming up, certain topics, for example, certain thoughts that keep coming up at different times of the cycle as well. So many things, like I said, you can learn there.
And another tip is, if you are wanting to I guess track your cycle for ovulation purposes or prevention purposes, to go out to your local chemist and purchase a basal body temperature thermometer. So this is a thermometer that takes your basal body temp, and to try to do it first thing in the morning when you wake up, before you start moving, because it's when your body is at the most basal temp that it's going to get for the day. Otherwise you've spent all day like running around and being like, "Woo!" like I'm warming up my body.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, perfect. So how do you help women with this?
Cool. So I help women sync with both their cycle in a generic sense. So just if women are wanting to learn more about their cycle, and how it affects them in their life, but more so in relation to business and how you can incorporate your cycle into how you run your business, or how you run your teams, or if you're in a leadership role or management role. This is kind of my area of focus and expertise around all of this.
Yeah, beautiful. So important.
to know about that, right? And like we talked about, adjust your projects, especially if you work for yourself and you do have flexibility. Mm. How amazing is it to really work with it and utilize that for your own empowerment then as well?
Yeah. Mm. And as well, giving yourself that permission to get away from that, you know, idea that you have to, that business has to be a certain way, or that you have to structure it a certain way, that you have to show up a certain way. You get to show up in the way that works best for you, rather than showing up for what works best for someone else on someone else's timeline.
Mm-hmm. And outside of business, so if someone doesn't have a business, it's how do I show up in my own life?
Mm, exactly. Yeah.
Can I work with it? And again, if, for example, I don't feel like being social, well, maybe that's just that time of your month.
Yeah.
And it's actually quite normal, right? It's winter. So we just got to back into lighting fire and candles and do a little bit of spiritual practice or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As well as being able to communicate with others as well. Like not being afraid to say, like,
beautiful,
you know, I'm on my period. And at this time in my cycle, I'm not as, you know, I'm not as social. I don't want to be as social, and that's okay for me. And being able to voice that.
Yeah, that's very beautiful, what you're saying. I remember when I started tracking and started noticing certain things, in particular with my emotions in the second part of the cycle, communicating that with my partner was really great. Yes. Because I was warning him, it's coming. And so he knew that if, let's say, next few, I don't know, days, something is happening and I'm more emotional, then he can remind me of that. Hey, remember, that's what it is, you know, it's because in that moment, it feels very real.
Hmm.
It's hard to differentiate whether it's hormones, because it just feels like, well, it's real, it's really happening. So I found it very, very helpful to be able to communicate with him. And so we were working with each other. He was supporting me to get through that time. But again, if it's too extreme, like those emotions, I really will be having this conversation. That's a good opportunity to look into our cycle and our hormones, and maybe getting some support there as well, through supplements, through nutrition, through liver support. There are so many different ways we can support our cycle.
Yeah.
If people want to find you online, where can they find you?
Easiest way to find me is over on Instagram. So at this is Nadine Chanel. Everything that you need to know about what I do, who I am, and how I can support you in your journey is all on there.
Perfect. And I will add all the links in the description as well.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. Nadine, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
For all your knowledge, I think this is really powerful. I really think we need to have more of these conversations and really yes. empower young girls, women to know about this, so we can really stop suffering and yeah. be yeah. empowered, right? Or and knowing how to work with it then against ourselves.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you learned just as much as I did. I definitely found it very, very fascinating talking to Nadine. Now share what you've learned on social media. Tag us on Instagram in your stories. It's unlocksyou.nz. If you have any questions or have some suggestions for us to talk about any specific topics, message me, eugenia@unlocksyou.nz. Connect with us on social media. It's unlocksyou.nz. And I'm looking forward to connecting with you next week again. Have a beautiful day. Goodbye.